You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
Now, all going well, I've got Farid Saeed on the phone. Farid, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, David.
Okay. Now, I asked him to come on air to talk about incel.
Yes.
And so, Farid, can you tell us what incel is?
Of course. But just to preempt the conversations coming up, I'm not an expert in this field. I'm a cognitive psychologist. I work at Monash University. But this topic is of interest to me just as a bypassing interest, because incel, the word incel comes up into common social discourse often. It stands for involuntarily celibate. And it really refers, today at least, it refers to a subculture of mostly angry, misogynistic young men online who often spew hate speech and who have developed their own jargon to describe the ills that they feel society has bestowed upon them. So it encapsulates this idea that there are angry online forums of men who are misogynistic, women hating, more broadly society hating, but it never used to be this way. And incel initially didn't stand for any of those things. And so I think you reached out to me, David, because you read an article that I recently published on the platform Conversation, where I described, or maybe lamented, how this concept has crept away from what it initially used to stand for and now describes a much smaller subset of people in our society who are involuntarily celibate.
Okay, there was a Canadian person, Alana, who had Alana's involuntary celibacy project, and that was a kind of mutual help sort of thing, wasn't it? It wasn't about anger and misogyny.
She'd like to stay anonymous. I don't think Alana is her actual name, but we only know her by Alana. And she created an online space in the late 90s for other like-minded people, both genders, men and women of all ages, I should also point out. This isn't peculiarly focused on young men. Many people of all walks of life, of both all genders and all ages, sometimes feel the loneliness and the disconnection and find it difficult to form romantic relationships.
So young males who are frustrated they can't be successful in getting girlfriends, and that can turn to anger.
It can turn to anger because loneliness is a driver for community finding, right? When we feel lonely and disconnected, we try to form connection in any way we can. And sometimes the only way of finding that connection is to join other online communities of other young men, teenage, adolescent men, and maybe into their 20s and even 30s, who similarly feel aggrieved and similarly feel angry. And I guess that culture just feeds itself.
So you've
isolation from real life, and the push towards the online communities.
You've said that the internet forums become incubators for dehumanizing language and open hostility towards women, and I guess a primary example of that would be Andrew Tate.
He's the alpha of all that. I mean, I guess you wouldn't consider him an incel himself. He brags and shows off how successful in sexual relationship he is. I don't actually know what his sincere, honest relationship status is. I think he might even be married with children, but he certainly displays the alpha male, quote unquote, lifestyle where you have multiple girlfriends and not real any love connection with any other people. It's all transactional.
He's very disparaging about women, isn't he?
Of course. Yeah. So and I think for young men, young boys, or boys and men who are lonely and isolated, that type of lifestyle, that dream of being successful with girls, with women, is very appealing. And the more lonely and isolated you are, I think the more appealing it would become.
Yeah, with Andrew Tate, it's also sort of bodybuilding and very expensive cars. So it's a kind of...
it's a whole mentality. It's a whole lifestyle that comes with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The grind mindset, the optimization mindset. You need to be working from 4 o'clock in the morning until midnight every day. And if you're not, you're failing you and your family. And so, yeah, there's a whole set of principles and prescriptions that come with that type of lifestyle. And one of them is this misogynistic display and a pejorative way of treating women.
Is there a female equivalent of this?
No, not specifically that you could say she would be an equivalent or a set of women would be equivalent to Andrew Tate, but certainly radicalization isn't an isolated thing for men only. Women also become radicalized. I think we all have risks of becoming radicalized, whether it's because of some specific ideology, political or religious. I don't think women are immune, but I can't think off the top of my head any man-hating online forum group, apart from maybe some people would say, you know, radical feminists. I wouldn't even know what they would mean by that, but they're not as pronounced, they're not as prominent, certainly, as the alpha male red pill community, as I describe in my article.
Now, women find it easier to relate to each other.
That's actually a good point. Absolutely.
And so their friendship, and they can hug each other and tell about emotions. Intimate things, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you're precisely right there. That would be one inoculating factor, that the loneliness epidemic that I describe in my article as well, or at least just basically touch on, is disproportionately affecting men because of all the issues and aspects you've already mentioned. Our society, even to this day, still teaches boys as they grow up that overt emotional displays should be kept to a minimum, and that feeds itself through all of life, I guess, as they get older. And so they find it more difficult to make social connections, more difficult to keep friends, more difficult to keep relationships. And so, having that social skill set certainly inoculates you. And I know I've averaged, there's certainly many lonely women, certainly many incel women as well. But on average, it's, the science is clear, the psychological data is clear. Men find it more difficult today to form social connections. Yeah, they're more lonely. They're more suicidal. They're more, they suffer from more mental illness when it comes to the acting out types of behaviors. So truancy, physical violence, etc.
I'm speaking with Farid Said, who is a senior lecturer in psychology at Monash University, and we're talking about the incel movement. The incel, I guess you call it a movement, I don't know. The loneliness, you mentioned that one in four males say they have got no close friends that they can confide in.
I mean, you sort of have to say that this is not my data. This was data that was published late last year. I think you sort of have to say that phrase a few times to yourself before it clicks in. Yeah, one in four adult males in Australia, no close male friends, no close friends at all. And so that's 25% of all the men that you cross streets on, that they feel so isolated, they feel so lonely that they can't share the most intimate parts of their life, the most real parts of their life with a close friend. The data in the US is very similar. I think in the US it's about 1 in 5, but certainly it's halved since about a generation ago. So, people always talk about social media and the internet more broadly, the rise of our technological society has these wonderful opportunities to bring people together, but clearly also large swaths of our society, it sort of isolates and excludes, and that's something that we as a society should reckon with as well. Yeah.
Now, as part of the subculture, there is a whole sort of bodybuilding kind of thing going on, isn't there?
There is. So that, I guess that comes under the umbrella of what I was trying to describe earlier, this grind mentality that you have to optimize every waking minute of your life. And so physical size, physical strength, is part of this mindset that you have to appear large, appear intimidating, not one, because supposedly this subculture believes that this is the type of physique women go for. But two, being the bigger guy in the room, the more muscular guy, signals status and dominance. And so it's sort of a two for one. It's supposedly the girls go for it, and also you intimidate other men in the room when you're doing business, when you're walking down the street, when you're in a restaurant. It's a very violent and confrontational way to see the world, but that's certainly part of this subculture. Yeah.
There is a trend on TikTok called looks maxing.
Uh-huh.
And that's about building up the body, using steroids, hair transplants, pumps for penis stretching, all sorts of things like this.
All sorts, yeah.
And so that indicates basically for males attracted to that sort of thing, a dissatisfaction with their own physique.
Yeah, so it looks maxing is another one of those jargon terms that arose in incel culture. And you're precisely right, David. It stems certainly from a discomfort in your own body, in your own self. But the philosophy is that it's an effort to enhance your physical appearance and your perceived attractiveness. And for a lot of these men, mostly men, like you said, it's steroids, it's gym, it's skin routines. It all involves enhancing your physical appearance for the purpose of attracting a mate. Because remember, these guys are finding it challenging to find partners, romantic partners, mostly girls, of course. Most of these boys, young men, are heterosexual, but I'm sure not all of them. So, I don't mean to say it's just to attract girls, but for the vast majority of them, I guess it would be a heterosexual relationship that they're seeking. And so they all support each other in this quest to maximize their looks. Look maxing.
I've always had a theory, I'll put it to you, about males that often their behavior is compensatory, because the most valuable thing, the most significant thing that happens is the woman giving birth. Men can't do that. And so often what they do is compensatory and they seek power.
That's interesting. That resonates with me. I guess looks maxing specifically, it's the critique that you could offer is that it perpetuates these unrealistic beauty standards, right? It contributes to mental health issues, body dysmorphia. Specifically, I guess this subculture is among young men, but we have a very similar social ill when it comes to young women, and that's the beauty industry, the makeup industry. They too perpetuate these unrealistic body standards and cause many young girls to experience food eating disorders as well as body issues and body dysmorphia. And so, yeah, look maxing specifically, I guess it's just reflecting larger trends, but your point around recapturing status and power because men aren't able to bring life into this world. Yeah, it's an interesting theory. I don't know much about it. Like, I wouldn't be able to comment more than just say, like, that does resonate with me. It certainly might be some unconscious Freudian type of driver, but I'd need to look into it more.
It's just my layman's point of view. So how many, just to finish, how many young males are down this rabbit hole of going online and
I'm going to be instantly honest with you and say it's really hard to quantify, but I can give you a good reason why it's hard to quantify, because there's the stigma of being lonely. There's a stigma of being rejected, right? We all have this, like it's been around forever. You don't shout at the top of your lungs that you're lonely and miserable and that no girls are interested in you. So when scientists, when psychologists or sociologists try to look into this, they find it really difficult to find honest responses. And so a lot of men are unhappy. I don't know whether they're officially involuntarily celibate, so in the sense like they're not having any romantic relationships whatsoever, they're not having sex. We can ask basic questions like, have you had sex in the last 12 months? 15 to 20% of young men say they haven't, and that number's growing.
So how young are those young men?
We normally ask adults. Like it becomes a little ethically
tricky. Yes, if
muddy
it's...
to start asking kids so how often you're having sex.
18 plus.
Sex, and by kids, I mean 15, 16, 17 year olds. But it's just, it's a lot more difficult to speak about these topics with children under 18. But yeah, it's a side issue, but connected to this conversation is that young people, men and women, are having less sex than they did a couple of generations ago. They're just less interested in sex. I guess there's a lot more to distract you. There's Instagram and there's TikTok and there's Snapchat and there's a thousand other things that can keep you glued to your screen. And those social skills required and that courage required to ask people out on dates in real life and go and sit at a coffee shop or a bar and have a conversation. Those skills, and again, this isn't just me talking off the top of my head, those skills are dwindling on average, and certainly people.
Does that indicate
today are much more fearful of going on dates, coffee dates?
Are Gen Z then, are they more depressed?
They are more depressed as well, of course. Yeah, and that's a standard fact, I guess you can call it now. Young people are certainly much more unwell than young people a generation ago. Suicidal ideation, self-harm, body dysmorphia issues, issues around food intake and all the psychological issues that arise from that. Everything we can measure when it comes to psychological ill health is up from even just a few years ago.
Gee, that's not a good picture, is it? You're not painting a good picture
depressing.
Here,
folks. Yeah, the world is a wonderful place. There's a lot of really positive things going on, but I don't want to dwell too much on the mental ill health of young people, but I am worried personally. I'm a father. I have a young son. Thankfully, he's very young at the moment, and so he's far off experiencing or getting engaging in any of these online cultures just yet. But you look around and as a parent, you want to do the best by your children, of course. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are listening who have young children are concerned. I don't have the solution. I don't have the fantasy response of how to deal with this. But it's clear that young people are not as happy and not as psychologically well off today as they were even 10 years ago.
Gee. All right, Fari. Look, thanks very much. It's been very interesting.
Thank you for having me on, David.
Thank you.
It's been
a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.